So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Psalm 67. If you're using the Bible in the pew back, you can find that on page 481. And if you don't have a Bible, please let us know. We'd love to get you one. Also, if this is your first time with us, you should know that our senior pastor, Josh Moody, has been faithfully preaching through the book of Matthew, and we're just taking a break today to focus our attention on how God is making the nations glad in him, and how we can participate in God's plan for the world. So I will begin by reading in verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his name, his face, to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Please be seated. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts so that we might understand your word and treasure it and be filled with joy. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, imagine that you're standing in the sand on the edge of the Atlantic Ocean. The sea is dark blue and the early morning sky is a bluish gray. This is what's appropriately called the blue hour. It's a period of time. It's a twilight just before the dawn. Then suddenly a bright streak of orange and yellow and pink is drawn across the horizon as the sun begins its ascent. Over the next few minutes, the light intensifies as it's poured out over the waters and over the land until finally the sun appears, bringing with it both heat and light. And in that moment, you sense the favor of God. As you're standing there in the morning, as the morning begins, you feel blessed and joy wells up in your heart, and you begin to praise the Lord. Now, having grown up in the American Promised Land, also known as South Carolina, about an hour from the beach, this became one of my favorite experiences. And I think something similar is happening in this text. Because in Psalm 67, the psalmist is reminding us of God's desire to pour out his blessing like the light pours from the sun in the early morning. And so my goal then is to prove that God's plan is to bless the world, and God's purpose for that plan is to fill the nations with joy that results in worship of him. That's why the title of today's sermon is Let the Nations Be Glad, because this is God's intention. And you may sense this favor, or you may not. You may be here and feel as though the sand beneath your feet is shifting and that life is unstable. You may feel as though you're looking out over the dark blue waters and there's a storm approaching. You may feel a sense of melancholy as you look at the dull, bluish, gray sky and you wonder what life has in store for you. You may not feel God's blessing at all. Well, church family, my hope is that whether you're on the mountain or in the valley, you come away feeling encouraged by the word of God, because in Psalm 67, we'll see that there are three ways that God blesses the world in order to bring about joy that leads to worship, and I hope that you get a sense of that blessing. So first, God blesses the world by making his way known. This is in verse 1 and 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Throughout human history, God has been gracious to make his saving power, his salvation, known among the nations. Just as the Colorado River carved a path through the Grand Canyon, so too has God carved his path of saving power throughout history. He did this for ancient Israel by rescuing them from Egypt, by guiding them through the wilderness, and by protecting them from the surrounding nations. And then he blessed them. We see this in Numbers chapter 6, which is the basis for this request in verse 1. It's there that we find what's known as the Aaronic blessing. It's often used as a benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them. God blessed ancient Israel by making his ways known to them and by putting his name on them, and he did this for a purpose. Genesis chapter 12 reminds us that after God blessed Abraham and told him to leave his country, he promised him that he would bless him and make his name great. He told him that this was for a purpose, and this is what he said, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. From Abram to ancient Israel, God blessed them to be a blessing until all the families of the earth experienced God's favor, God's saving power, and bore his name. And God is still blessing. We can still be filled with encouragement. Every year, millions of people around the world are hearing the gospel and coming to saving faith. We can be encouraged. Recently, I was sitting with a couple from North Africa, and there was a husband and his wife there, and so I asked the wife, I'd love to hear about your testimony, how you came to saving faith, and she said that she had a dream, which is common in that part of the world. People have dreams and visions, and these don't save, but they do lead to salvation. And she said, I had a dream, and it was dark, and there was a deep hole. But then a bright, shining face appeared. I could see him, she said, and he was pointing to a church which was in her community. And he said, there you will find the truth, and there you will learn my way. And this was the first step in her coming to saving faith. Has God made his way known to you? If so, rejoice and share his way with those around you. But if you have never yet experienced this saving power of God, then pray and ask God to make his way known to you. Because God blesses the world and makes his way known. Second, God blesses the world by making himself known. Notice this sandwich structure in verses 3 to 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Because the structure of Scripture reveals significance, the repetition of verses 3 and 5 emphasize God's desire for all peoples to praise him. And verse 4, being the center of this literary sandwich, it relays a central and important component, and that is that joy is intrinsically connected to the God who has made himself known. Recently, one of our missionaries' families were over at our house, and I think within 1 minute, the grandmother had pulled out her phone, and she began showing pictures of her beautiful granddaughter to my wife and I. Why does she do that? Because her granddaughter brings her joy. And as a result, she draws attention to her granddaughter by praising her. Not in a weird way, but naturally, in a way that pointed to her granddaughter's beauty and intelligence. And I agree, beautiful child. But you see, praise, what's called for here in verse 3 and 5, what's prayed for, praise comes from joy, and joy must have a source or point of origin, and for many a grandparent, that is their grandchild, their grandchildren. But for the people of God, our eternal source of joy is God Himself, because God is eternal, our joy is eternal. Said another way, God-centered praise that comes from our mouth flows from a joyful heart. And soul-satisfying joy that fills the hearts of the people of God comes from a personal knowledge of and relationship with the God of the universe. Have you come to know this joy-giving judge and guide of all the earth? Have you come to rejoice in the God who justly governs the world by judging it fairly for its sin and rebellion, while fairly or equitably calling people from every nation or people group to salvation? Have you allowed God to use you to make His ways known and to make Himself known, to graciously guide people back to Himself so that they might experience this joy that we're talking about? One of our missionaries leads gospel singing choirs in France, and it's remarkable, really. She's been doing this for many years, and I'm fascinated that even those who are far from God will join these choirs. They'll learn songs that are rich with gospel truth, even though they don't follow Jesus, and so with her, we pray that God would use those songs to transform the hearts of many. Is it possible to sing songs of praise not out of a joyful heart, but out of tradition or duty? Of course it is. Is it possible to come into this sanctuary and feel cold and distant? Of course it is. And for these reasons, when we come together to worship the Lord, we should ask God to make Himself known to us once again, to revive the joy of our hearts, the joy of salvation, or to experience it for the first time. So God blesses the world by making Himself known, but third, God blesses the world by making His provision known. This is in verse 6 and 7. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. Here, the psalmist is calling attention to the way that God has provided, which is one of the signals that this psalm was to be sung at a harvest festival. Look at the fields. Look at the harvest. Look at the way God has blessed us, and therefore God shall bless us. This phrase being repeated signals the emphasis on how God will provide for His people in the future. God shall bless us. But perhaps you're here and you're worried about how God might not provide for you in the future. Maybe you are here and you want to be sent to the nations and you want to make Christ known, but you're struggling to see where your provision will come from. Well, let me encourage you to do three things. First, consider how God has provided for you and others in the past. Second, anticipate God's provision in the future based on His Word. And third, share your concerns with those in your community. Share your concerns with us. Now, notice that this psalmist's forward-looking confidence is not unfounded youthful optimism, but instead it's time-tested realism based on past provision. And this provision is tied to all the ends of the earth coming to fear Him or coming to be in awe of the Lord or having this sort of trusting awe, being reverential before the Lord. And so the expectation here is that as God provided for the people, the nations would come to watch in wonder and begin to trust this God who is able to provide. Recently, I was speaking with a missionary who lives and serves in Central Africa, and this missionary works with poor rural farmers. He comes alongside these farmers, and he encourages them, and he teaches them about acknowledging God as their creator. He teaches them about how to take care of the ground and how to plant according to a crop rotation system. I asked him once, how much does the yield of the harvest typically increase when the farmers follow this program? His understated answer was, usually around tenfold for the first 5 years. And the farmers are amazed. Maybe you have experienced a tenfold or a hundredfold level of provision. You have everything that you need and more. Praise God. But if this is the case, then let me encourage you to resist the temptation to forget God's purpose in provision. God always has a purpose in mind when He blesses. He does not mean for us to build reservoirs of blessing. Whether those gifts are physical, emotional, spiritual, intellectual, musical, or whatever, God always has a purpose in mind when He blesses. And to whom much is given, much is required. We know this. So the degree to which we have been blessed, we are called to bless. But for this reason, both as individuals and as a church together, we must continually remind ourselves that we are simply stewards here. Look around us. Look at all this. Look at this amazing organ and pipes and everything in our campus. Look around us at how God has blessed us. But even greater than all of this, God has provided Jesus Christ, His Son, and He has provided His Word. And as the psalmist was writing, he was looking forward in anticipation for how God was going to bless the world and continue to bless the world. But on this side of the cross, we look back and see how God has blessed the world by making His way known in the Lord Jesus, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." It's Jesus who demonstrated His saving power by healing physically and spiritually, by rescuing us from our enemy, by guiding us by the Holy Spirit through the wilderness of life, and by protecting us eternally. On this side of the cross, we understand that God has blessed the world by making Himself known in the Lord Jesus. It's Jesus who is the judge and guide of all the earth. It's Jesus who lived a perfect, sinless life and was the only one to ever earn salvation on His own. And yet it's Jesus who exchanged that perfect life for punishment, for condemnation, and for judgment. He did this for the sake of the nations, for all those like you and I who have sinned against Him, but he made himself known in order to graciously govern and guide the nations back to himself. And on this side of the cross, we understand that God blessed the world by making his provision known, by raising Jesus from the dead so that peoples from every people group might come to praise him for all eternity and gather into local churches until then. And so, church family, God's plan is to bless the world. I hope you see that. And God's purpose in carrying out that plan is to fill the nations with joy, which results in worship. But there still remains one question from this text. How will God's blessing actually reach the nations? 2,000 years after the coming of Jesus, there are still millions of people in our world who live and die at kingdom zero. They have zero understanding of God's saving power. They have zero knowledge of the grace and the peace that comes through the Lord Jesus. They have zero scriptures in their language. This is kingdom zero. And then there are millions who live in countries where there is some gospel presence, but is sparse. These are the least reached, gospel needy places of the world that have few to no Bible believing, gospel proclaiming churches among them. And these groups represent billions of people who have no sustainable witness to the gospel, and yet they are made in the image of God, loved, full of dignity and worth, people who God wants to bless. So how will God's power and salvation be known to them? How will people who have never heard the name of Jesus come to know him as the just judge and good guide who has revealed himself in his word? How will those who are starving of physical hunger and dying from physical thirst come to stand in awe of the living God who provides not only for the physical food that they need for life, but the spiritual food that is only found in Jesus Christ our Lord? It's very hard to hear when you're hungry. But all of these questions, God answers with a promise found in Romans chapter 10. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And those who are saved will bear his name. And the Apostle Paul continues by asking these similar questions. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. You see, church family, we are reminding ourselves today that remarkably, amazingly, God has entrusted his plan and his purpose to his people so that through Bible preaching, gospel-centered churches all around the world, he is making himself known. He's making his ways known and he's making his provision known. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a member of God's church, then he wishes to use you as well. And this is why we must never stop sending and equipping missionaries. We must never stop sending them to the nations. This is why we must not back away from partnering with national churches who provide witness to their communities. This is why we must freely allow with open hands God's blessing to flow through us to the nations, because we have been blessed to be a blessing. You You may know that College Church was founded in 1861. You may know that we sent out our first missionary in the 1880s. And since the early days of meeting on campus just across the street, members of our congregation have been praying faithfully for the nations. And so I am humbled by the legacy of nearly 165 years of praying, missions-focused prayers. Praise God. But church family, it is time for us to make a recommitment to pray for the nations. Our missionaries need you to pray for them as they are sent. Our national partners need you to pray. The nations need you to pray purposefully and specifically and urgently and desperately that the gospel of the Lord Jesus would be spoken in word and demonstrated indeed. From kingdom zero to kingdom saturation, so that people from every nation might come to experience the joy of knowing Jesus and in turn worship him. Let me offer some simple suggestions and next steps. You could join us on Wednesdays at noon as we gather together on Zoom to pray for the nations. We would love to have you. You could use our missions prayer guide that looks like this to pray for our global missionaries and partner churches, maybe one every day. You could download the Unreached People Group app of the day and pray with your family as you sit around your dinner table. You can pray that God would fill your heart with joy and your mouth with praise day by day. Because, church, we are standing on the shore and it's the blue hour. Soon the sun will rise and a new day will dawn. Soon Jesus our King will return and the sky will be set ablaze by his entry, blessing the nations with light and heat, filling their hearts with eternal joy as they respond in eternal worship. Soon. But this will not be the case for those who do not yet know him. And so this is why today we are reminding ourselves of God's plan and God's purpose. God's plan has always been to bless the world, even from the beginning, Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." God blessed them, and then he gave them work to do. God has blessed us, and he has given us work to do. And our work is to conform our plans to his plans. Our work is to align our purposes with God's purposes until people from all nations experience joy in him as we join in that God-centered worship that he deserves. Let's pray. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, you have blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Lord, you have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before you. In love, Lord, you predestined your people for adoption to yourself as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of your will, to the praise of your glorious grace, which you have blessed us in the Beloved. And so, Lord, we pray that the nations would be glad and that the peoples would come to sing for joy, and that we would join in that worship. And Lord, we pray that you would raise up men and women to go to the nations. And we pray for all of those churches around the world that are Bible-believing, gospel-preaching churches, that you would fill them and encourage them, and that you would provide for their every need. And so, Lord, we pray, believing that once again you will bless us for your glory and for the sake of all nations. Amen.